Well, the book of Ruth tonight. Introducing the book of Ruth, the title is given to the book Ruth because Ruth is the principal character of the book. Ruth is not the author. She is the principal character of the book. Her name means friend or friendship. So to name somebody Ruth, that's a good name. Friend or friendship. The authorship and date of the writing, possibly, and I would say probably, Samuel is the author of the book of Ruth, and we suggested the same thing, actually, based on the Talmud, that Samuel was the author of Judges. Also, he probably was the author of Ruth, and it would have been written about 1010 BC or so. You know, you could probably say anywhere from about 1015 to 1000. B.C., somewhere in there, the book would have been written. Its place in the Old Testament canon, well, in our English Bibles, I hope you all have found it tonight, so you know where the place is in yours. But in the Hebrew Bible, has basically three divisions: the law, the prophets, and the writings. And the book of Ruth would be considered in the category of the writings, the Ketubim. By the way, in your notes, Ketubim, that should end with an M, not an N, in your notes there. So it's listed with the Ketubim, or the writings. The Ketubim also has some categories within it, and one of those categories is called the five megaloth, or the five rolls, which are the Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. So it's in the Hebrew Bible grouped with those. The book of Ruth, historically, among Jewish people, is read on Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost. And there are some who consider Ruth as an additional appendix to the book of Judges. Now, if you think back to last time, remember in the last chapters of Judges, we said there are two appendices that make up the last section of the book of Judges. One of those appendices we saw concerned the Danite migration from chapter 17 through chapter 18. And the other appendix was the Benjamite War, chapters 19 through 21. And so there would be others who would suggest that the book of Ruth would be a third appendix to the book of Judges. And that may well be, especially if Samuel is the author. It's possible that it could be. But it has never been included in the book of Judges, so it's always treated as a separate book. So that's its place in the canon. Some purposes of the book of Ruth. One, to exhibit faith and godliness in the time of apostasy. That is to say, you've seen the cycle in the book of Judges, right? And that goes around and around. Well, the book of Ruth, what happens in the book of Ruth happens during the time of the Judges. And so it happens during that time of apostasy, and yet it shows the faith and godliness of some of the Lord's people during that time. Another purpose is to illustrate the concept of the kinsman redeemer, which we will not get to tonight. That will be next time. But the kinsman redeemer, we would know relatively little about that concept if we did not have the book of Ruth. We would know some of the laws from Leviticus, but we wouldn't really know so clearly about the concept without the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth shows that God's grace included Gentiles in the Old Testament. Ruth was a Gentile. And the book of Ruth traces the ancestry of David to the tribe of Judah, and that is especially chapter 4, the last chapter of Ruth. And that information is used in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3 in the genealogies of Jesus to show that Ruth is placed in those genealogies connecting Jesus back to David, and Ruth connects David back to the tribe of Judah. So those are some of the purposes. The historical background we can begin to see in chapter 1, verse 1. It came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. So that's the historical background. This is happening in the period of the judges. Likely early during the judgeship of Gideon. Now, why would we say that? You see in verse 1, there was a famine in the land. So, question. When, during the period of the judges, was there a famine in the land? Answer to that question is in Judges chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, during the judgeship of Gideon. That's when there was a famine in the land. So we can say pretty safely, and Judges chapter 6 is early during Gideon's judgeship, so this is probably closer to 1148 than it is to 1108 BC, but somewhere during that time period. So that is the historic background. There is a famine in the land. Now, chapter 1, we see the journey of Ruth and verses 1 through 5. 10 years of tragedy. Verse 1, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah, yes, that is the same Bethlehem where Jesus was born, Bethlehem in Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Okay? If you have been to Bethlehem, you know, or you should know, that from Bethlehem, especially from the outskirts of Bethlehem on the hills surrounding it, which is where the shepherds would have been watching their flocks by night and all that, you can see across the valley, you can see the mountains of Moab from there. So it's not a super long walk, but it is a journey. So they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Verse 3, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. So that was a difficult 10 years in there. Verse 6 through verse 15, Naomi is considering the alternatives. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each one of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, but we will surely return with you to your people. But Naomi said, return, my daughters, why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughter, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, so now we're getting into Ruth's decision of faith. Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. And then they arrive, verse 19, in Bethlehem. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came about when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Now notice Naomi's theological perspective here about God. By the way, when she says, call me Mara, Mara means bitter. So call me Mara, for the Almighty, and it's fascinating that that is the term that Naomi would use, the Almighty, Shaddai is the name. Shaddai. Shaddai is a fascinating word, and quite often it's compounded with El, so it's El Shaddai. But Shaddai is a fascinating word, and it's translated here Almighty, which is a perfectly good translation. Almighty Shaddai. But Shaddai is a name of God that appears in the feminine. Shaddai is a name of God that actually speaks of, and we won't go through all of this tonight, but it actually speaks of God having breasts from which he sustains and provides for his people. So Shaddai is not just that God is almighty, but that he is almighty to always care for and provide for his people. And that's what Naomi calls the Lord here And yet she says, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Verse 21, I went out full. Oh, remember why they went out? They went out because there was a famine. So it's not, she's in getting this quite right, that she went out full. But she says, I went out full. But at least when she went out, she did have a husband and two sons, right? But she came back empty. The Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witness against me, and the Almighty, Shaddai, has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest, which is normally about the middle or towards the end of April. So they came. Naomi does not have the greatest attitude, does she, at this point? But Naomi is about to see that God, Romans 8:28, works all things together for good to those who love Him and according to His purpose. So, does God work famines out for good? Does God work the death of husbands and sons out for good? Yeah. Does God work all things for good for His people? Yeah. Even messed up societies and coronaviruses and all those kinds of things. He is El Shaddai even in the midst of all the problems, isn't He? He is still the Almighty God who provides for His people. Some have said He's not I'll get by. He's El Shaddai. So, now chapter 2, the gleaning of Ruth. Verses 1 through 3, her right to glean. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. So Boaz and Naomi's husband, Elimelech, were relatives. Maybe brothers, but some kind of relative. Verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now you have to love that wording in verse 3. She happened to come to the portion of the field. Yeah, she did happen to come, and who was leading that? El Shaddai was leading that. So, verses 4 through 7, Boaz personally sees and meets Ruth. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Beginning in verse 8 through verse 13, we see Boaz protecting Ruth. Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go out to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them indeed. I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz answered and said to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me." So Boaz knew who she was. "Fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know." Now look at verse 12. "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." There's a great verse to claim for your work and everything you do. Verse 13, "And she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." And then verses 14 through 18, Boaz provides for Ruth. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. So there was plenty. The Lord used Boaz to provide. You can see Boaz said to his servants, let a little bit of the grain spill out of your bag so she can pick it up along the way. He's helping her out with this. And so she is providing. And verses 19 through 23, we see the report of her gleaning back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Now, the barley harvest, about the middle of April, the wheat harvest went through the end of May or into early June, which means Ruth has been gleaning in Boaz's field by the end of chapter 2 for a good 6 weeks, maybe more. But 6 weeks, enough time, and you can meditate on this. We'll come to chapters 3 and 4 next time. But 6 weeks was enough time for Boaz and Ruth to begin to have some development of relationship and interest between them. And that's where it will pick up in chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your sovereign care and the way you set it up for Ruth to be cared for by Boaz. And so, Lord, in all of this tonight, as we pray, and there are many cares and concerns, we look to you and we trust you as our Shaddai, the Almighty, who cares and provides for us. In Jesus' name, amen.